This podcast is brought to you by DeMarini. Are you ready to join the uprising? More than 150 programs around the nation have, including back-to-back Division I and II national champions, Oregon State and Tampa, and Division III national champion Keene. Log on to DeMarini.com/DNation and check out the Voodoo Minus 3 to see why the SC3 alloy is the most powerful and durable performance alloy on the market. It gives you the pop you need to get along because chicks don't dig the ground ball. The uprising, coming to a ballpark near you. Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast, College Style, along with Aaron Fitt. I'm John Manuel. Memorial Day is a holiday for all you schlubs out there, but not for us in the Baseball America offices. Working hard as the College 64 team field for the Division I NCAA tournament is revealed. Aaron, that always makes for an interesting Memorial Day, but more interesting than usual today, some real surprises, I think, in the 64 team field.
Yeah.
Generally, I think we feel the committee did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the usual stronger or weaker regionals, the field, all these kind of things. But to me, Aaron, the shocking thing is just how there's a team that's in that really doesn't belong, and there's a team that didn't get in that's won the last two national championships, which is the bigger story. Oklahoma in or Oregon State out?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. I guess Oregon State not being in is the bigger story on a national level because – you know, I think that people, the average college baseball fan who's not in Oklahoma will probably notice that a lot more than they'll notice Oklahoma being in. You have to look a little bit closer to realize how egregious it is that Oklahoma is in this event. And how outrageous is it, John? Sonny Galloway sent his team home. There's an article in the Tulsa World today where he's basically looking ahead to next season. He didn't think there was any way that they were going to get in. He thought they had to win the Big 12 tournament. And you know, and why would he think otherwise? This is a team that did not win a single series all year long against the team that made the NCAA tournament. Best series win was Baylor, which did not make a regional.
Wow.
I mean, you know, Larry Templeton said today on the conference call that the biggest thing Oklahoma had going for them was an 11-5 record against teams in the top 100 of the RPI in the non-conference schedule. Well, that's all well and good. Of course, four of those games against Washington State, which went to Norman and won 3 out of 4. And you know, this is a team that just did really poorly in the conference season. I can't understand this at all. I think it's baffling. And when you compare those guys with Oregon State, which won 5 series, John, against regional teams, including 3 against number 1 seeds, Arizona State, Arizona, somebody else, John, I'm drawing a blank. Arizona State, Arizona, and
so they beat UCLA in a series as well.
UCLA covered down.
They beat Georgia as a number
Georgia.
One seed.
Thank you, John. That's the last number one seed. That's five series against 1 or 2 seeds. I mean, I understand that their overall record wasn't gaudy. Their RPI was a little bad. They had a couple of bad losses. But I think Oregon State, you know, and to be fair, John, I didn't have either of these teams in my last projection last night. I had College of Charleston as the last team in. I think you can make a case for Charleston or Oregon State. You cannot make a case for Oklahoma.
It really seems to me that the only excuse for this is if you look at the RPI, and this is not the official one, but Boys World's RPI, you go Oklahoma 41 and Oregon State 59. You know, Washington State's right there at 42, which is kind of funny, and College of Charleston's 53. To me, Aaron, the committee just went on RPI, and that's what you do when you don't have enough other information, when you don't have good information, when you aren't informed about the process, when you aren't informed about the teams, when you follow it the last month of the season, when you're an administrator who doesn't really know college baseball. And I'm sorry, that's the way the committee has to be seen. That's the light you have to look at them when they take a team like Oklahoma. There's only one reason to take them, RPI. There's no other reason. Every college baseball coach plays for the weekend and plays for their conference regular season. The conference matters more than anything else. Any coach will tell you that. Any coach. And 9-17 in the league? No, Mojo, nuh-uh. You just don't get in at 9-17. And even Sonny Galloway knows that. And it's really, I think, embarrassing,
embarrassing
that the tournament, that the committee put them in. It's embarrassing. Not that they put them in instead of Oregon State. Hey, look, Oregon State only won 28 games. Guess what? I don't think Oregon State really earned its way in either.
I think leaving Oregon State out is perfectly defensible if you've got the right teams in. And like I said, in my last field, I didn't have the Beavers in.
Yeah.
But
and hey, Charleston,
Oklahoma State.
And hey, Charleston didn't really have any signature wins either.
Exactly.
At some point, though, you have to pick out a 64th team. Apparently, Oklahoma wasn't even the 64th team. they're 63rd, and UC Davis is 64th, because UC Davis gets in as a four seed as an at-large. That's also, you know, again, an RPI deal. And to me, Davis is 52 in the RPI, Charleston 53, Oregon State, as we said, 59, but St. John's is 58. And then St. John's got in.
Yeah.
Where's Missouri State, for example? I mean, why don't you even take
some of these teams? We're in the discussion for the committee. I really don't.
And they're at 55 in the RPI. I mean, take the teams that do well in their conference. It's harder for a team like Missouri State, like Charleston, to schedule a difficult non-conference slate than it is, especially for a team. Yeah. And it's hard, much harder for a team like Oregon State geographically. It's harder for the mid-majors, though, to get any games. No one's going to come play Charleston at Charleston for a weekend series in non-conference. Okay. And no one's going to come play, for sure, Missouri State. You don't have to, so you don't. That really is a almost indefensible selection. And I really think that the Oklahoma selection is made on a lack of information. And then the only shred you have is RPI. So you stick to that shred of information, and that's what the committee did. It's the Baseball America podcast, a disgusted edition, apparently. I actually thought the committee did pretty well,
no, in
Aaron.
In general, John, I thought they did, too. And they only had one really bad selection as opposed to last year when they had two with Troy and Memphis. So I guess if you're counting sheer number of completely inexplicable choices, at least they've improved in that department.
But I'll be honest with you. I don't think the Larry Templeton, when you talk about Supreme Courts, you got the Burger Court, you got the Warren Court or whatever, you got the John Roberts Court. Whenever you want to go by conference chairman, the Larry Templeton court, the committee, has been a committee that's made some really zonked out choices, some really indefensible choices, some ill-informed choices, and that's just a bad track record. And see you later, Larry Templeton. Enjoy retirement now that you're not going to be AD at Mississippi State anymore. I mean, just enjoy it. Get out of college baseball. You're not good for it. That's all. Nothing personal against the man, but heading the committee just have these major flubs, and I'm glad he's not in charge of the committee anymore.
You know, I have to agree with you, Joe. It's harsh the way you put it, but it's,
I don't care.
You know, I think it's fair.
I'll Larry Templeton come out to 4319 South Austin Avenue, and we'll settle it like men, and that's fine. I mean, he can tell me I'm wrong and tell me to stick it all he wants to. It's nothing personal, but with him in charge of the committee, they've made bonehead, ill-informed decisions. And the biggest problem to me, again, Aaron, is a lack of information. Clearly, they're not educated about these teams, or else they would not have taken Oklahoma. That's all there is to it.
It's the Baseball America steel cage match here.
Yeah, we could do that. Me against Ron, as long as he doesn't bring Ron Polk as his manager, then I'm in trouble. I think Ron Polk would do anything to win that one.
Let's talk, John.
Let's talk about something better on the field.
Let's talk about another one of the surprises to me, which is the ridiculously difficult path that was given to the number one overall seed in this tournament, Miami. You know, I can't think of a regional that's got more pratfalls than this. Missouri, number two. Ole Miss, number three. These are two teams that were in our preseason top six. I think two teams, two of the six deepest pitching staffs in the nation by my count, John.
A lot of talent. Yeah.
A lot of talent on both those teams. I was thinking before these brackets came out that Missouri and Ole Miss were two of my Omaha sleepers that I felt very strongly about. You know, and now in the same regional with Miami, only one of those teams is going to advance. There's three teams that I felt pretty sure were Omaha teams. Two of them aren't going to make it.
Really, the last few years, those have been three very steady super regional teams, Aaron.
Yeah.
And this year, they're not only one of those three teams will get into the super regional. And frankly, Bethune-Cookman has a lot of veteran players who've been to regionals year after year after year. It wouldn't shock me if you're Ole Miss or Missouri and you lose that first game and you got Bethune-Cookman, because let's face it, Miami's going to beat Bethune-Cookman. And they get stunned by Bethune-Cookman, and your season's over just like that. It would not shock me. And then, on top of that, Aaron, the Miami Regional is paired with the Michigan Regional in a Super Regional. Michigan is a team that won a Regional on the road last year. They're home this year. Arizona is the one there. Arizona is a very talented team, number two in our preseason poll. You also have Arizona with all kinds of pitching, fantastic bullpen. Kentucky's a three seed, a dangerous three seed, a very offensive three seed. That's going to be a tough regional for Miami, but also a tough super regional matchup.
Right. And if you compare that, John, to what the road that North Carolina has in front of it, I don't think it's any comparison. North Carolina, you know, UNC Wilmington, Elon, Mount St. Mary's are in that Cary regional with the Tar Heels.
Who's the better two, Wilmington or Missouri?
I mean, come
Missouri.
On.
It's, who's the better three, Ole Miss or Elon?
Ole Miss, frankly, stacks up favorably talent-wise with UNC Wilmington. And I really like UNC Wilmington's program.
Yeah,
I do think they've got talent. I think they're a very solid club. But come on.
I would actually take Wilmington over Ole Miss this year. Ole Miss is inexplicable. They don't play up to their talent level.
Sure. But I mean, as far as upside goes.
Oh, no doubt. And as far as a 2 versus a 2, you definitely take Missouri. And 3 versus 3, you definitely take Ole Miss over Elon. There's no comparison.
The regional that they're paired with, Coastal Carolina or Arizona. I mean, I like Coastal, but Arizona's a lot more dangerous.
And let's face it, Coastal's never been to Omaha. Andy Lopez has taken 3 teams to Omaha, and he's won a national championship at Pepperdine.
Right.
I mean, Arizona is the stronger team. And then, again, number
East 2. Carolina or Michigan, I mean,
it's kind
East
of a
Carolina
push.
Did win the head-to-head against Michigan, but that was before the Wolverines really got going. I think both those teams are pretty good. I think Michigan's a little bit more dangerous.
Michigan also won a regional last year on the road. Right. East Carolina has not done that.
Right.
Alabama is your 3, and you know, that's tough. That's a pretty good 3, but Kentucky was better than them in the SEC. So those two, you're right, North Carolina's path is much easier, in my opinion, on paper than Miami's. A couple of the regional thoughts here, and that really jumped out to me. Usually it's a West Coast regional that is the strong one, but we're going to have a little Baseball America grudge match here in the Fullerton regional. Cal State Fullerton, the top 8 national seed, had a fantastic season after not being in the preseason top 25. Meanwhile, preseason number 1, UCLA, finished strong. I think the Bruins are dangerous for the Titans. This was a rematch of last year's Super Regional, but the bottom...
Go ahead. Titans have had UCLA's number this year. I think they're 3-0 against UCLA, if I recall. But throw it all out when you get to this postseason. I mean, the way Tim Murphy has been pitching lately and Gavin Brooks has been pitching lately, or rather, Charles Brewer, I mean, those two guys in particular, you know, UCLA shut out Cal twice this weekend at Berkeley.
And Cal
really is a very good offensive team.
Cal's the second best offense in my mind in the Pac-10. Maybe the third best offense. You could put them or Stanford, kind of a push. But no, that's going to be a very tough regional, I think, for Fullerton. You have a dark horse there in Virginia, which finally played pretty well this week in the ACC tournament.
Right.
Went 3-1 in the tournament, if I'm not mistaken. Lost in the championship game. I think Virginia's kind of a fraud. I think they were good to get a three seed. They played a horrible non-conference schedule, and they really didn't beat anybody in the ACC regular season. They did beat North Carolina twice in 4 games they played.
I think Virginia probably has the most pitching of any team in that regional, but I really worry about the ACC team going to the West Coast and having to do that style of play out there. I don't expect Virginia to win that regional, even though they are very talented, especially on the mound.
I don't either, but that's a tough one. And then the Stanford regional, also out west, I want to focus on those a little bit because they're usually tougher. Pepperdine, a very solid 2. I think that you always thought they were a little bit better than I did. And then without Brett Hunter, and they didn't pitch Brett Hunter this weekend in the West Coast Conference Championship Series. Yeah. It's a young team. It's a young pitching staff. Eric Thames, their top hitter, their outfielder, is a little banged up. Will he be back? I think some serious question marks for Pepperdine. To me, they earned a 2 seed, but they're kind of a wounded 2 seed.
They are.
Arkansas is a 3, did not even make the SEC tournament. I know they played better down the stretch, but they did lose 2 out of 3 to Mississippi State,
right,
which, you know, Ron Polk fired up or not. They were terrible most of the season. And then UC Davis is a dangerous 4. I don't think it's an easy regional for Stanford, but they did get Jeremy Blyche back at the end of the season.
I do think it's probably a lot easier than the path for Fullerton or Long Beach.
Yeah.
You know, because if you look at, like you said, Pepperdine's a wounded 2. I just thought they'd make a conference tournament, and they're having to go halfway across the country. Look at Long Beach, John. San Diego
a
2, which in my mind should have been a 1 seed. I had them as the 1 seed in Ann Arbor. I think you can defend the Arizona selection out there instead. They were higher in the RPI. But San Diego did win the West Coast Conference regular season and championship series. They had a lot of wins midweek against teams like Long Beach, Fullerton, UC Irvine, UCLA. Really, I thought San Diego, especially on talent, we know how good they are talent-wise on the mound. I mean, and they're playing their best baseball right now. I talked to a couple of their coaches this weekend, and they're very excited about the way they're playing. I think that in spacious Blair Field, that plays right to that team's strengths, too, with all their arms.
Yep.
I think San Diego is very dangerous there. And Cal is a 3. We talked about them all year long. Really like their talent on both sides of the ball, especially offensively. They're the best offensive team in that regional. Fresno State is a 4. Was a preseason top 25 team for us.
Right.
Brandon Tanner. Shepherds is hurt. That obviously changes the complexion of their team. But you know, it wasn't just Shepherds, you know, for us in the preseason. We like guys like Justin Wilson and Justin Miller and
Steve Sussdorf.
They, you know, they've got talent on that team. That's a very good 4 seed. They are every year. They were last year, you know, for San Diego. They were
absolutely tough for San Diego. So that's a tough regional for Long Beach State.
I think that's probably the toughest regional from top to bottom in the country, even tougher than Miami's, because I think Fresno is more dangerous than Bethune-Cookman.
You know, I think I agree with you. The more I think about that, I thought it was Miami's regional, but now I think it's Long Beach State regional. Couldn't happen to a better guy, Neil Adler. Enjoy all that, Neil, with Long Beach State. But Baseball America podcast, let's wrap up real quick, Aaron. You've got to go chat. Dallas Baptist gets in as a 2 seed.
Yeah.
TCU gets in as an automatic Mountain West regular season and tournament champions and a 3 seed. Was there an explanation given on the teleconference for that one?
It was not a very
good one, I'm sure.
Larry Templeton basically said that the regional advisory committee had ranked Dallas Baptist ahead of TCU, and so that's what they went with. I don't know what that means exactly.
Scooby-Doo's flummoxed by that one.
But TCU, I thought, you know, winning the Mountain West Conference and the Mountain West Conference Tournament, I mean, come on. You know, Dallas Baptist has had a good year. I think you can almost, you can defend them as a 2, but not against Texas Christian head-to-head. I just don't see how you can make that choice. That, to me, was definitely a head-scratcher. You know, I think that was probably the only other thing here that really stands out to me as a glaring, surprise. I thought
the thing is, again, it's easy for us to sit here and nitpick the committee and little things they did right or wrong. But guess what? This is coaches, people like Clemson didn't get in. How's Clemson any different from Oklahoma State, honestly? Oklahoma, we keep mixing those up. I don't see how Clemson is any different from Oklahoma in terms of their resume. The ACC just as strong at the top, if not stronger.
And then at least 11-18, which is a couple more wins than 9-17. 9-17, John, I can't get over that. I'm sorry to keep belaboring this point, but
I can't get over it either. And again, Dallas Baptist, a point we made in a podcast has been lost to the sands of time. But, Dallas Baptist played a lot of Thursday through Saturday games. They don't have a conference weekend series, so they can always put their top guy out there in midweek games. I'm not trying to put a ding in Dallas Baptist. They certainly deserve to be in the field. But it's hard to, just, in my opinion, to justify them over Texas Christian as a 2 versus a 3. That's quibbling, I know. But Dallas Baptist, kudos to that ball club and that program for getting in as an independent. They did everything they had to do to get in as an independent. But I have a hard time seeing how they're a 2 seed in Oral Roberts as a 3. Oral Roberts usually handled them head-to-head. And similar programs, and Oral Roberts really gets knocked down because they're in a conference that's awful. And Dallas Baptist gets a benefit of the doubt by being an independent, Aaron. No other way to put it. New Orleans does get in as a bubble team. Missouri State not in. Any other teams that were on the bubble besides Kyle Charleston that you thought maybe had a chance to get in? Baylor,
maybe. I thought Baylor certainly had a better case than Oklahoma. They finished higher in the conference standings. And they also had a better series win to hang their hats on. They beat Oklahoma State 2 out of 3. I mean, I know they lost the head-to-head series to Oklahoma, but, beating Oklahoma State it speaks louder than beating Baylor, so...
Yeah, I think so.
I just think that, I don't think Baylor should have been in either, but I think they should have been in over Oklahoma.
Hard to believe Oklahoma 8th in the league, a half game out of last place, and they get in. I think we're going to get some lovely mail from Sooners fans, but I just don't get it.
I can't imagine, John, that any Sooner fans thinks that this should be a regional team. I mean, their own coach didn't expect them to be a regional team.
I mean, they're 10 games over 500, and 9 of those wins are early season Arkansas, Pine Bluff, North Dakota State, Western Illinois. I mean, it's really it's shocking. It's really shocking that this team is in the NCAA tournament field. Aaron's got to go chat. I'm done podcasting. It's a Baseball America podcast. Aaron, why don't you just briefly tell people what they have coming up later this week at baseballamerica.com, both podcast style and also in the old conventional online, with what we're going to do, how we're going to cover the NCAA tournament.
John, it's regional bonanza week here at Baseball America. You can find, of course, our epic two-part, hour-long podcast previewing these regionals one at a time. That's going to be going up, I believe, Tuesday and Wednesday this week, or Wednesday and Thursday, maybe?
I think it's Wednesday and Thursday.
And we're also going to have regional capsules, in-depth capsules for all 16 regionals.
There you go.
Those will be going up later this week as well. So be sure to check back at baseballamerica.com for all the preview materials you could really ask for here when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
Well, we do thank you for the download on the podcast. We love doing them here at Baseball America and baseballamerica.com. We'll see you later this week, as Aaron just said, with the 64-team breakdown, regional by regional, breaking the teams down and picking every single regional. You only hear that here at baseballamerica.com. For Aaron, I'm John. So long, everybody.